Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Party Line After Dark. This is your hostess, Kat. I have your other hostesses. Hanako, you heard Hanako laughing. You
got out the bar last.
Oh gosh, you hear Daryl. You hear Carl say
hi. Kat has had a sample of the Menage.
I have not. I don't drink that. That is ready arsenic wine. I don't drink that. And then Eric is joining us too. Stephanie will be joining us late as usual because, like, it's what, 3 a.m. in Portland and she just woke up. Who knows, Portland? How many hours? I don't know. Tonight's episode, we're talking about the mid-season premiere of what season is this? 5, 7?
This is six.
Season, mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead!
Woo-hoo! All right, so what you're hearing right now, Sci-Fi Party Line After Dark, is Hanako's fault. Because she...
Why is it my fault?
It's your fault because we wouldn't have recorded it if she hadn't been diligent. A soldier saying, hey, we need to do this.
So it's not my fault, if it goes well, it's your
responsibility and your whatever a positive word of fault is. If it goes bad, then it's your fault.
Oh. Wow. Okay. But it can't go bad because this was like one of the best episodes for the whole series. So it can't go bad.
Oh, really? The best? Do tell, because I'm not going to say it was. I have some issues.
Oh.
Oh, Lord. You always have issues. Okay, what are your issues,
Kat? I want to hear how everybody think this is the greatest thing since the Red Wedding.
Wrong show.
That was a great show episode.
It was as painful as it was, but it was one of the best episodes of the series for me.
Mm-hmm.
It had some of everything. Had explosions, you had fire, you had deaths to irritating characters, you had deaths to okay characters, you got, you know, you got porch dick shish kebab going on. It was great.
They did a lot of slate cleaning in this one. I mean, if there was somebody that you're like, I'm not so sure, you don't have to worry about them no more. They are not on anymore.
You know, though, when you look at casting, I kind of knew some people were going to die when I saw the earlier casting of other people for the show.
Like who?
There's a woman that they had casted, and that kind of made me think, oh, okay, somebody's not going to make it in Rick's world. Mm. I forgot the name of the actress, but I just knew once they cast her, I was like, this woman is done.
Are you talking about one of the characters that died in Sunday's episode?
Yes.
Talking about specifically? Because it's not us. I mean, this is a spoiler episode because I don't know who you're talking about.
His girl, Rick's. Can't even call him girlfriend, but
Jesse.
You don't know names. You okay?
Alexandra Breckenridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he basically killed a whole family. I mean,
he had some help.
Aside
from Jesse, the other two had it coming.
It's little Sam.
How did he have it coming? Oh my God.
What I found frustrating was with the mid-season finale from way back in the day, that shot when they're walking down the steps and they're all covered in guts and they're leading their way out. And the episode ends with him going, Mom?
Yeah, you got to go.
I'm going to say is for them to just gently transition away from that into night and later on in the episode, seemed like that should have been the spot when he got it right then. It should not have flung out in terms of, I'm going to be there for you, Mom. Let's do this. No. He should have got it with the mom early right in that moment so we could have started with. But I'm not sure what they were doing with Sam there because – We had found him pretty annoying, for early on, and we didn't think he was going to make it anyway. So why take that dramatic turn, that moment to try to let us believe that, oh, yes, now he's going to be bucked up and ready, and he's going to be a team player, and he's going to make I just don't know what they were emotionally going for there.
They were setting us up to let us know he was about to die.
But look, Walking Dead is better than that. I mean, if they're gonna set you up, use a couple of episodes. Most of the time they do.
Yeah.
Most of the time they give us a couple of episodes to get to know the person, even if they're a secondary person, and then they kill him off. Let's look at W Man. I mean, we had a couple episodes where we really grew to hate him. And we got close enough to know what he was about. He caused chaos with the team. And then they killed him. So, you know, you give us time. Don't be, you know, trying that yo-yo mess where we don't like him. He doesn't seem that significant as a character. And then you try to bring it up. And then 8 minutes later, kill him off. I thought that was a little rushed for Walking Dead. But anyway, he still had it coming. So, understood. Yeah.
He had it coming.
Mm-hmm. Eric?
Oh, he did.
Yes, yes.
And Ron had it coming, too. And I'm so glad. The way that he went out, yes. I was all for it. Yes, thank you, Michelle.
Okay, let me ask you, campers, because, you know, Eric, you'll probably jump in on this because you pay attention to these kind of details. But I am still a little at a loss as to why the zombie specifically targeted Sam, his mom, and the brother at that moment. Now, I mean, they had been kind of whispering. Because
the director told them to.
I'm waiting to hear because it seemed a little convenient, folk. But anybody got something?
I'm thinking because Sam started freaking out. I don't know. Maybe they smelled the fear on him. You know, people say you can smell fear. The pheromones that are given off during. Maybe that was why. And then, of course, once he got attacked, he was screaming. Jesse was screaming, and she would not let him go.
Nope.
So the fact that she held on to him even while the zombies were at him, she just kind of made herself a target. And she just stood there and she screamed and she kept saying no, no. And she basically drew attention to herself.
All right. Now what about brother?
No, brother didn't.
He got shish kebab.
Then they came after him because
he was all juicy.
I think at this point he was just looking like, okay, my dad is dead because of you guys. Now my brother is dead. My mom is dead, and all he can look at and see is Carl and Rick, and he's blaming them for all of this. So of course he goes with the gun. Michonne is not about to have that because Rick and Michonne knew. I think from the mid-season finale, that fight that they got into the garage, Rick and Michonne knew what was going on. I think even Jesse knew what was going on. They are stupid. They knew that there was some kind of conflict going on there. So it was just literally a matter of time.
When you say conflict, you're talking about conflict between the boys?
Yes, when they got into the fight in the garage, the fight that eventually got all the walkers into the house. Because Ron pushed Carl into the window and broke the window, and they were
having a little male bonding moment there. All right, now I understand the motivation, but I'm still a little dubious about the selective zombie eating during that scene there. Okay, so I'll give you Sam was, well, the mom was making more noise. I really think that Sam, I mean, unless you would have gone the whole pheromones fright thing, Sam wasn't making that much noise. And the other thing is, why did the crew just pick him up? Yeah, he's standing perfectly still. That is not a moment that you have a debate with a crazy person. If this is your kid and they're acting a fool in the middle of a zombie, you know, march like that, you pick him up and you keep going. You don't try to negotiate.
Yeah, but that's a grown ass boy. Even if you picked him up, he gonna have his legs dangling and he gonna be like flailing around and they gonna eat his legs.
He was frozen.
He's gonna be freaking out.
He was frozen and he was relatively quiet at that spot. So no, I think he could have picked him up.
You might get technical. I'm with Carl on that. You would attempt to pick up the child and move him along, and then he'd go from there.
Yeah, because if he was on the floor kicking and flailing around, then it would make more sense why the zombies ate him and why the family could not have pitched in to help him a little. But he was frozen. You're frozen. You pick the kid up and you keep moving. You console him quietly, but you don't be sitting there going, "No, Johnny, let's have a discussion about this." while the zombies are all around us. No.
Or you just say it was nice being your mother, but I did all I could do.
Oh, that's right.
Well, they were trying to be undetected.
Whoa! That?
Well, that was the point. They were trying to be undetected, and that's exactly why they shouldn't have done what they did.
But the thing is, like, how many zombies have you seen pick up a kid and not eat it?
Yeah, but
to be zombies.
Y'all hear how we had our own little Steph Carroll moment right there. She just walked in. Nobody knew she was there.
No.
She's just a fan in the back. Like, I smell the pheromones. Ready to shank you. Ready to shank
you. We are joined by Stephanie, currently in progress.
No, conversation. Zombies are actually cognizant of, like, humans doing human things. Like, that's
never human things. Established. They are cognizant of it because as soon as they started acting like humans and getting all loud and, you know.
Loud, yes, but I don't know about because they're acting like humans.
They were getting all sentient up in here. But anyway, so I'm nitpicking. I love this episode. I really, really thought it was one of the best ones.
Specifically, that's your nitpick, though.
Thank you.
That was my nitpick. That
okay,
was
my so nitpick. Here's my nitpick. Here's my nitpick. Why in the middle of the zombie slashing did it turn into like late 90s Nine Inch Nails emo video where everybody was slashing with the black backdrop in a camera cool. It was just contrived. Hanako, did you just say that? Because that's not Walking Dead. Walking Dead is not supposed to be cute.
I'm looking at Facebook at the same time, and I was looking at something else saying cute. But no, I thought it was cool.
But I mean, that's not how it looks when you're killing zombies. Like, why are they like at a photo shoot in the middle of killing zombies?
Turned into Sin City. Yeah. I know that too.
Is this? Yeah. It was like a really bad CSI montage.
I can understand not for everyone, and it's true they don't normally do that. No. But I actually thought that was a cool, nice little touch.
Flipped it a little bit.
What were they doing? I don't remember this at all.
When the townspeople started coming together, and there's that moment where all the townspeople are out there and they're slashing away at the zombies, and the team is growing, and they do this cinematic thing where they cut to each one of the town members really, really fast.
Oh, I saw that.
And you see them, you know, like slashing.
Oh, Stephanie, you on video. Hey.
But in the background, it's like a black backdrop. And I suppose the idea is they're supposed to be focusing our attention or showing the tunnel vision of each and every person. But I got that, Carl.
But it was just still like, why is this so artsy? This is Walking Dead. We know it for its grittiness. It's not supposed to be like an artsy 90s film.
Walking Dead is really artsy, not in this way, but they're really artsy all the time. So
I didn't like the artsy in that way. I like the grit artsy. You know what I'm saying?
Blood artsy. No, I understand that, but I'm saying they do a lot of other.
But it was practically a dance routine. They were doing zombie interpretive dance.
No, pretty much. While I understand what they were shooting for, I'm 100% with Kat on it because it took me out of the moment, really, when that happened. Because I was like, I felt like Kat's like, is this a music video? What happened here?
It was cool.
So much more enjoyed just seeing a mob of zombies behind them instead of the black.
Well, they played with a little couple of things. I mean, that big explosion with the missile launcher, that was something that looked.
Well, that was glorious.
That was awesome.
But that's not a usual Walking Dead thing. I mean, they played with it. It was kind of comedic a little bit.
That's why I said it was like a Tarantino moment there. Because whole intro, everything you have belongs to us now. And you got a tanker and we need something. Boom! And then it
You know what I liked about that, though? I liked that because it felt like every season we meet this group of people who come in all badass. We're going to take your shit. We're going to take your gun. You're gonna come with us, blah blah. I was like, oh my god, how many more times can we do this? God, this is so boring. And then they came with the RPG, and I was just like, oh, thank God, because this is different, and I loved it. And they're like barbecue now. Oh.
And the other thing is, I liked it because for so long, I feel like Daryl's character has been so underused. It's like Daryl is supposed to be one of the badasses of the group, but they've kind of put him on the back burner lately. And
because he doesn't exist.
For them to come and give him like this really big moment, I enjoyed it.
The other thing is, you know, Daryl has always been sort of like the sniper. Everybody else has got the discussions and the debates. And he just kind of comes in and settles things, but normally is quietly when he settles things.
Right.
This was a statement for Daryl. This was a proud moment. But Kat, you know, what you're saying about this opening is kind of how I felt about the whole episode, though. Because it was like all of the memes and all the things that we have seen throughout the whole series of Walking Dead, where, oh, now we got another baddie coming up. Oh, now we got another family acting stupid. How's the crew going to save them? All of that stuff, they just did away with this episode. And one thing after another. Are we really going to try to deal with Sam and his mama? Yoke? Oh, no, nothing. All right, well, what about little W guy? The W guy, we're going to have to go out in the woods and try to track him down. Okay. Guess not yet. Every single thing that felt like kind of like a loose end, and even right down to Carl, right? The season finale and into this episode. Hang on now. I thought that finally, because, you know, we've been on the fence about Carl, too. He has had some, shall we say, some personality issues, some little teenage unks that we found a little bit difficult. The moment where he turns to what's his name, the brother guy, and Daron in the finale, the midseason finale, and he goes, you know, I just got to tell you, your dad's an asshole. I mean, right then, you won over a whole team of people. Carl's growing up, right? And now in this episode, you know, he's still rocking the cap. But now he's got the cool, like, governor patch he's going to be rocking now. So everything that we've seen throughout the series, it just felt a little loose end, a little unresolved, or, you know, just maybe a little too messy or too slow. Man, they were not playing in
and
this episode.
To add to what you're saying, Carl, they also, because you thought they were going to have to leave Alexandria and pack it up and burn it and leave. No, they was like, no, let's clear it all these motherfuckers. We staying. And I was just like, whoa, this was a surprise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the way they did it, the town came together in the most glorious way. I thought it was funny. You saw, like, Ma and Pa peeking through the window in, like, their nightgown and everything. And they're like, well, got to get the machetes. You know, and they just come out in the street. I said, okay, now we're bonding. It was cool.
Eugene came out.
Eugene! Yeah. This is a day we're going to be
reading about. I thought he was going to die.
Well, again, they switched it up on us. I was a little worried, but man, Eugene came out. Everybody came out. It was really, really well done.
Right. Yeah. That quote he said, "No one gets to clock out today." I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Crazy Preacher Man was gonna die.
He will. I think he will.
Thank you, spoiler.
No, I don't know.
No, that's
just
speculation.
He's turned now to the good guy.
I know, and that's when you die.
Yeah, right.
Once you change your shit up, that's when you start dying.
Yeah.
Number two,
look at W guy.
W guy, come on.
I'm just saying, finally he started acting human. And yo, I mean, he like two.
But wasn't that? It felt so contrived. Like, after all that stuff he was doing. Now he's going to care about the one girl with blah, blah. No, that.
No, what I was looking forward to was her betraying him at the end.
That's what I thought she was going to do.
I did too. Yes.
But then Carol took out the trash.
Yes. What? She took herself out? I don't know.
Can we just say that, you know how, Kat, you were saying earlier about how every season they meet this group of people that has to, like, be all bitchy and take things?
Yeah.
Can we just say, I wish these people would learn not to be so verbose. If they had actually just shot the two, like Sasha and redheaded dude, what's his name? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Abraham.
If they had just shot him right away.
Yeah, no.
Why? Then they would have had all their crap, kept Daryl to tell them they were serious.
But yeah, they missed Syndrome's They missed his seminar monologuing.
But okay, but remember, these guys were also about recruiting, is what was going on. It wasn't just that they were after their gear. They're looking for talent.
Yeah, I'm not sure recruiting.
They were about finding where the, you know, all this other stuff is.
They could take more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they could take more with, you know, Abraham and Sasha's own loot.
Well, there was just that moment early in the episode where he said something to the effect of,
"If you guys can procure this kind of
tanker,
stuff,
you're the kind of people we're looking
for."
No, he didn't say that. He said, "You're the kind of people our person would want to meet." That's not saying that they're recruiting.
Right.
That's like, okay, you guys are resourceful. We might be able to use that, but that's not necessarily
we want you to join
us. That's more so you're about to do some stuff for us.
All of you are more or less on the right track.
Eric.
But to go more into the spoilers, right.
Well, I will say that I'm really happy that it's starting to get back on track in terms of the comic, because I really like this part of the comic. Or this time after Alexandria, like after that part, and they, by the way, the whole coming together that happened in the comic. That's Rick had this big epiphany about how they were gonna save him.
If this is in the comic book, did he have a black background behind him when it happened?
Probably.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
No, exactly. A lot of their editorial decisions.
I was gonna say. I don't know if they did exactly that in the comic book, but they do visuals like that in the comic book.
Stylistically, that would fit.
Homage. I get it.
Whatever.
And actually, if you notice, they tend to do that to kind of cue people. Oh, we're getting back into the comic now, kind of thing. They have these kind of cues every once in a while where it's a scene that's kind of set up really strangely for television, but it makes a lot of sense on a page. And they do that on occasion when there are like these really important scenes that are mirrored in the comic. Okay. Like with the Carl blown out his eye thing, like that totally is what we saw in the comic.
Oh, that was in the comic?
Explicitly. That's the thing that we've been kind of warning you about all season. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, if such and such happens the way it happens in the comic, and that was the thing, Carl getting his eye shot out.
Okay, and did Jesse he die too. In the comic book? Because this felt like a happy ending.
Mm-mm.
Well, not that type of happy ending. Eric.
Oh.
It's word choices.
I still don't know how to take that.
Okay, just stop.
You don't know how to take a happy ending?
Again, party line after dark, folks.
After pow, chicka pow, wow. Okay, anyway.
Hey, but let me say, while I didn't have any issues with this episode, to me, this episode was just, it was all right. It was cool, but
it wasn't all right. I was glued. I'm gonna say I was glued, but then
I was attentive. Oh, for sure. I wasn't checking my watch or anything. But that said, I wasn't over the moon about it either. Like I know many people are, not just here, but everywhere. But I totally get that though. Like I get
you're just
it.
Saying that to be contrary.
I got spoiled.
How is this being contrary?
Because you always do that. Like, I'm a connoisseur of TV, and
this did not excite
my cockles.
After dark, everyone.
I am a certain type of connoisseur, and I am proud of my cockles. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying it was all right. It sounds like
you need to get that checked.
It was decent. It was decent. It's just
decent is an understatement for that. Come on, son.
All those things that happened were fine, but there was nothing shocking about any of it. It was just like, oh, like this should happen. Like all the deaths that happened, and there wasn't anything like profound or really interesting. Because actually, while it was a little exciting, the little blow up, because I didn't see that coming. The RPG at the beginning. Well, that took me by surprise. I was actually looking forward to those three characters going down some of the trail and seeing where that went. I was actually looking forward to that. So yeah, the explosion got me by surprise, but it's like, oh, never mind. Well, we're not going.
I liked it. It was refreshing because that dude was like, "You just eat shit, and you gotta eat it all the way fast. Don't nibble on it." And I'm like, "Dude, why are you talking so much? What is happening right now?"
I was more excited by the prospect of one of those two getting shot right then. And that was getting me more excited.
I thought it was going to happen, too.
Wondering which one of them is going to get shot. And that was exciting.
I thought it was Abraham.
Yeah, I did.
That's I know, and I was getting upset about it because he hasn't even had...
You know what? I didn't see any of that happening simply because of the whole little... And I may be wrong, but that whole little conversation about him and Sasha getting together and he needs to take care of something. I don't think they would have put something like that in, just turn around and kill a character off.
That's good, though. No, but that's like what they did to Noah. Put something in and then take him out.
Mm-hmm. What did they put in for Noah?
That he wanted to now start this whole thing with architecture and become an architect.
Yeah, but that's kind of different because to me that didn't involve anybody else. There would be no story there.
I hear what you're saying, but I mean, okay. But I mean,
there was the possibility of Noah and Beth. Like there was that.
Yeah, but
yeah, that kind of was. Beth was,
but yeah, but yeah.
Well,
but all I know is that, you know, I would have appreciated, as much as I didn't want it to happen, I would have appreciated if they killed off either Sasha or Abraham.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. Abraham's the likely choice in the moment, but it would have been pretty shocking if it was Sasha. So I was getting ready for that. And then for everyone just to blow up, that was almost kind of like, oh, all right. Like, that was like, for me, that was anticlimactic.
I was thrilled.
Right. Well, I knew they weren't going to kill Sasha.
Well, we didn't get Glenn dying. I mean, that
I thought that might happen too. I was really kind of like, wow, okay.
I was hoping on that one. I was hoping. And
I wasn't hoping, but I thought, oh man, this is probably if.
Because
if it happened,
Abraham or Sasha or Carl or Glenn, any of them, that would have been much more interesting to me. But the people who we did lose, is okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, they weren't important. Yeah.
But
yeah.
See, I would have absolutely believed that Glenn was dead if they had killed him off. Like the last time I thought, well, no, he's not dead. That's too terrible.
I honestly think they're holding Glenn out for the comic version of his death.
I don't
Thanks,
think
Hanako.
I'll just put that. I mean,
thank you so much.
No, wait.
I'm sorry. That has already been discussed.
No, it hasn't. Not on this podcast.
Okay, I was saying, this is the setup where Maggie's looking at him. He's being extra heroic.
Yeah.
I thought, oh shit, he's gonna die. Like this is actually gonna happen, and it didn't.
You know what got me though is he didn't climb up the fence. He was climbing on shit in the first episode, and I don't understand how he didn't go up the fence.
I don't know, but I thought, oh man, this is gonna be another moment where, you know, they're gonna shock the audience, and I'm gonna be upset. But it didn't happen. Yeah. I'm kind of with Eric, and again, document this in history that I'm with Eric. I know, right? I wasn't as blown away by this episode as everybody else was, but I was spoiled before I saw it. So,
wow, how did you get spoiled?
You guys talking all the things on the Facebook.
I didn't talk anything.
Else. Whatever. What? There was a comment, and then other people were like,
I can't speak for other people.
How many days did you wait to watch it?
That's what I was going to ask. Stephanie, how long did you wait until
I watched it on Monday morning.
I watched it Monday evening, and no, I didn't get spoiled.
Somebody said, oh, it's exactly, Carl, what happened to him is exactly like what was in the comic. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, expect that.
I didn't say that. Who said that?
Think it might have been somebody who commented on my page, but I don't think they were specific. They just said, oh, you know, like she said, what happened to Carl is exactly like it happened in the comic, right. But that could have been anything.
Well,
yeah, but that does
big Carl thing.
But that's a real link to what happened.
Yeah,
in the book.
That really points to something.
But anyway, I mean, I didn't mind being spoiled. I just didn't think that it was a blow away episode like everybody else.
Yeah.
This is more of a fan service like rallying point.
I agree with you on that, Daryl.
They've been getting kicked in the ball for the last three, four episodes. Like there's been an arc of them just losing stuff.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think it was a high fan service, which is also why I think a lot of people liked it.
Right.
That is why people liked it. It was fun. You know how long we have been, you know, in the mire and in the muck and losing people that we care about and not really keep feeling that visceral response for revenge. Well, happened this time.
I know, because
a bunch in one episode. Darryl, it's very rare.
Yeah, and usually you get a whole thing of, oh, we're going to kick your ass, you know, like we own your group or whatever. And Darryl just did a F you.
Because you get tired at some point. Yeah. You know what I think? Because when they said that Walking Dead was coming back, I was like, oh, this is so stressful to watch. It's not fun. I'm bored. We're just going to see people in pain and blah. But it was really fun. It would have, like Carl said, a little bit of comedy to it. I'm glad they eliminated some characters. So I don't know. It was just
hold on to that good feeling you have.
Yeah, I know. It's that's the only good.
Because I think two major characters are going to die because this is a break. Like, this is a gimme episode. Like, this is.
Man. Yeah, one or two major characters need to die by the end of the season.
This was a calm.
I'm surprised that Maggie is still alive.
Wait, what do you mean enough? Who was the other? What was? Tell me the last time a main character died. It wasn't in season 6.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute.
The last person to die.
There's been deaths, but I'm talking main characters.
Oh, you're talking like.
Was it Tyrese the last?
Tyrese
is the last big one, but I would give someone a point for
Beth.
Noelle. Oh, she was before, though. She was before both of them.
Yeah, Beth don't count. Noelle?
It has to be either Tyrese or if you count Noelle, that's it.
Who the hell is Noelle?
Who is Noelle?
Oh, wait.
I don't count Noelle.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just saying.
Noah. I'm like, sorry. Who the hell is Noelle?
Sorry. It's so different. It's so
the first like, Noelle.
All, anyway.
Okay, Daryl. Daryl.
It's up to you if you count or not. But whether you count them or not.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Again.
Good King Wenceslas.
Why are we giggling about this? This is not funny. This is not funny at all. This is not funny at all.
You guys, that's a good.
You know, I'm drinking, yet I'm still on track.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I'm drinking wine, and I'm drinking wine, too.
So. I guess the arsenic, like, you know.
Listen, don't. War against Christmas? We're not oh, God.
Y'all are a mess.
This is exactly the point. There have been no major deaths. Now listen to these people right here.
Right.
This is what happened.
I think that's the first time we ever got derailed like that on this podcast.
Doesn't feel like the first time.
Oh my gosh, shut up, Eric. Not feel
like the- he was contrary to that, too.
I know, right? He's like, I'm drunk and y'all laughing.
Eric. Yeah, so it was all right. Oh, the other thing, again, it's not a bad episode, but it was... On the whole, it was one of those episodes that was very much like the comic, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine, but I am probably more interested when I get thrown curveballs by the TV show. But when everything is more or less like the comic, then all right, okay. Then it's obviously not as exciting as it could be.
So, Eric, when was the last time you felt in a Walking Dead episode was exciting to you? When was the last one?
Oh, that's easy, because there's been many in the first part of season 6 that I really liked. And probably my favorite of recent was the one where the wolves came in to Alexandria and there was like slashing and all kinds of stuff all over the place. That was a pretty exciting episode. That's my favorite one of recent. And that's one of my favorite episodes of the whole series.
Because we didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm answering Kat's question. Yeah. That was a really good episode.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying I think it was exciting because we didn't expect that. It's like, you know, Carol was... cooking a casserole and it just all of a sudden whack like what the
I was very excited throughout that episode
and they've been getting like slighted all since then. Like, they, it's been a nonstop, like, beating of the town since then.
But what I want to say, okay, so it is a bit like the comic, blah, blah, blah. But I think another thing's interesting about season six so far, because I think in a weird way, it reminds me of when they were at the farm. Mm. But what's weird is that almost everybody hated when they were at the farm because it seemed like they were there forever and it was holding things back. But in a weird way, I feel like in season six, they've actually been doing the same type of thing. They've been pausing everything, but unlike the farm, they've kept this pause like really, really interesting so that it seems like a lot of people aren't aware how paused we are.
Well, even with the pause, I mean, they've been the wolves, there've been the
yeah, there's been plenty of there's plenty of stuff going on.
Right.
But it's still, I still feel the pause and I still want to go further, even though it has been pretty good and pretty exciting. I just think it's interesting how they're putting such a pause on the timeline, but no one's really noticing it. Because
well, no, I notice it, Eric, but I don't care and I enjoy it because, like, with at some point when you're running and on the run, you gotta stop, you gotta make a stand. And so this was their stand, and you know, they just kind of got tired of it and they ended up killing.
No, I'm fine with all that. I'm fine with them taking a stand and standing up. And my only point is for the last, I don't know, it's been like 8 episodes now. That only like a week has passed, like in their time, right. Like the last 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. That to me is a bit crazy.
But no, but you know what they've been doing? Creative storytelling.
That's what
though.
I've been saying, and that makes it more palatable that they've been doing creative, interesting things.
And that's it's not like the farm, because I mean, what were we doing on the farm?
Yeah, I said that's why it's not
okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but they're doing the same thing narratively. It's just. It's much easier to swallow this way than the farm way. Yeah, yeah. It is better, for sure. It's just, I want to get to next week already. I mean, next week in their world.
Yeah. Well, now, are you anxious? Are you anxious to get to next week because you know what's coming in the comic book, or are you restless by what's happening on the show?
No, not just because of what. No, it's not just because of the comic book. Because what they have done throughout the whole run of the show, they. Generally speaking, it's like at whatever season they're in, they're like, oh, we're on comic book, and now we're taking detour from comic book and stuff that they've invented just for the show. And then they go back to comic book, and then they go back to new invented stuff, and then they sometimes weave it together. So I'm not thinking of, oh, let's get to the next thing in the comic. I'm thinking of what's the next thing they're going to invent that, you know what I mean? For instance, like the whole hospital in Atlanta in like a season and a half ago, whatever, with Beth. See, that was all made up for the show. So that whole storyline, I never knew where anything was going to go. I didn't know how this was going to affect things. So
gotcha.
I'm looking for the next creative detour.
You know how you can solve your problem? You can stop reading the comic books.
That's impossible because it is more exciting to read the comic book every month.
I'm just saying, you'd stop being surprised. You'd be surprised by a whole lot more. Because Carl losing his eye, or Coral losing his eye.
We may have to start doing that just for clarity.
I thought he was dead, because like really seriously, the trajectory of the bullet going into his eye in that manner should have went through his skull.
Oh,
so where did it stop? Like, why did he not die? Because if
they explained that on The Talking Dead, because Greg Nicotero was the one who directed it, and the bullet did not actually go into his eye. And they literally showed the dummy that they used.
It was extremely realistic looking.
Very, but basically, the bullet hit the side of his eye, and when it hit the bone, it shattered, and that the bullet fragments were what shot his eye.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay, that makes more sense, because that makes a whole hell of a lot more sense.
They went into very good detail about that on The Talking Dead, and I mean, they showed the Carl that Rick was carrying, that was actually a live cast of Chandler Riggs' body. So it was just...
He just carry Chandler Riggs?
I think they said because there was like so much running and blah, blah, blah involved. I think they were implying that he would have been too heavy to like do all the filming that they did for that part.
Oh my God.
But yeah, but I mean, they went into very exquisite detail on that. They did a lot of work on that. True. That particular thing.
True. So, but also in the comic, the wound, even though it's very similar, it looked even worse. And like, it looked even more devastating in the comic book when it happened.
I was blown away by that when I read it in the comic.
Yeah, it was a really high point in
unexpected,
the comic.
Really cool. Yes. And it was, yeah.
I agree.
I really, really, yeah. really liked that. I'm ready for next week to happen because I feel like it is because that kid with the bowl cut finally died. that makes me so much happier. He made the show super boring.
You're talking about Sam.
He's gone. Yes, yeah. Sam.
I don't even care about Sam one way.
Well, either. Right. That, I didn't care about
no, but I didn't care about Sam. He's dead or alive. Me either. Doesn't really matter to me.
Well, I'm glad he's dead.
Then why do they? That kid was like an appendix. We didn't need him. Well,
you know what I found interesting is it was Carol's voice that put him over the edge.
Though. I know.
Yes.
You know, Carol's kids do not fare well.
Yep,
Carol
agree.
Daycare said, you know, center, you don't want to send your kids there because no. they come out messed nope. up one nope. way or another. Nope. So
bad influence, Carol.
Yeah. She and you know what? If she hadn't have done that little speech with him, maybe he could have had a chance. But yeah.
I'm sure he would have did something else because he wouldn't go downstairs because all the zombies' guts and stuff was downstairs. So he refused to go downstairs in his own home. So I'm pretty sure that if he had like saw some stairs, he would have been like, oh God, there's stairs. And then blah, zombies would have ate him. So, you know, that kid, whatever. I'm glad he's gone.
But you know what? It wasn't the zombies that he was afraid of. He was afraid to go down the stairs because of the wolves busting in the house. Remember,
whatever.
His mom killed one right downstairs in the kitchen.
Oh.
So that was what was freaking him out. You know, he saw the people going through the neighborhood killing and hacking his neighbors. So he wasn't even worried about the walkers. It was the actual people that was freaking him out.
Hmm. Well, then he got freaked out by the walkers and was lunch.
Well, yeah, I think, like I said, because of Carol's speech, because right after he heard that in his head, he saw the walker of the little boy.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of maybe threw him off, which I probably would have been thrown off too.
That was adorable. A zombie family. It was a family. Yeah.
That was weird. We haven't really seen a whole lot of zombie kids.
Only one I can remember.
No, we've seen there's been a couple.
A couple,
when,
but not a
when
lot.
Daryl and Carol were going to look for Beth and they went to that shelter, there was mm-hmm. a mother and a toddler
right.
behind the door. So there was that instance. And of course, Sophia and, Noah's brother. So we've seen a couple of instances about it, but... And that reminds me, there were apparently some objections online. People were upset because The Walking Dead showed, because they killed off children and because they showed, children as zombies. I'm like, okay, what world are you guys living in? Like, if a zombie apocalypse were to really happen, do you really think the children would be immune?
I'm confused.
To be real, there would be a lot more children actually if they were,
right.
they were trying to be more realistic about it, and right. there would be a lot more old people and a lot more fat people. That's
yeah.
just how it is.
And that's just being honest. So
I'm a little confused about what their protest is, because if their kids are watching Walking Dead and getting attached to the characters that are getting eaten, that's a problem.
Like, why are they letting their kids watch The Walking Dead?
First place.
Yeah,
no, it's basically them just saying they don't think it's right that kids are being shown as victims. That kids
whatever.
Like Sam was. I mean, because think about it. For a child's death that we've seen on Walking Dead, I think Sam's has probably been the most gruesome. We haven't seen another kid.
You mean as opposed to the one they shot right in the head? Well, let me say, which one? Because remember Rick's first zombie. Rick's first zombie.
Right, but she was a zombie, and I think she was a zombie already. This is the first time I think that we have actually seen a kid get killed on screen in The Walking Dead. Everybody else has already either been zombies or we've seen them after the fact, even at the prison. The boy that started it off all, Patrick, he was Carl's age, but he was one of the ones who died from the cold. After the outbreak in the prison, we saw one of the ladies bringing out a baby, but, you know, the baby was covered, wasn't a zombie. It was just, we know that the baby died in the attack. The different things, but Sam is the first and I think only child that we've actually seen attacked and killed.
I say good. Moving on. Next.
Yeah.
Right. I'm with Eric on that.
I don't still get their objection.
I kill more kids.
There needs to be more kids. Yeah.
I mean, just to be realistic.
Need to see Dwayne.
I just hope that maybe Carl will stop wearing the stupid freaking hat.
No, he's gonna.
I think they lost the hat.
That's his signature.
Can we just say that? Why didn't he get a haircut when they had a freaking hairstylist?
Really? You know what I'm saying?
A teenager, and that's how they wear their hair. I have a 13-year-old right now that I have to fight with him to comb his hair because he's wearing it the way all the other kids are wearing it, and it's he's being a typical teenager.
Sci-fi party moms.
I need that kid to cut his hair. Ugh.
Yeah, he probably.
When you have Oprah's hairdo, it's time to get a haircut. It's this time.
You get.
And they had a stylist.
You get a stylist.
Ronald McDonald, Oprah, they share the same hairdo, except for Ronald McDonald's is like red. And now Carl, they all have the same haircut.
No, Coral.
Why. Carl. Hey, did you guys know that Shane was on the X-Files? I'm rewatching the X-Files.
Oh, like back in the day? Yeah.
Yeah, he had his huge head of 90s hair. It was really interesting.
I miss Shane so much when he was rubbing his head. Wait.
Yeah.
All right. He's
after dark.
He's featured prominently in the new Daredevil trailer, so just go watch that.
Yeah, he's
is he prominent?
He's gonna be the Punisher.
Yeah, we've discussed this on this podcast before, but yeah, the new trailer, there's plenty of Shane.
I love that guy. Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Anything else, Stephanie? Because you came in late. Any more? Were you there when we were talking about the zombie montage photo shoot?
It's a montage.
Oh, well, she talked a little bit about it, but I didn't get to say that. I thought it was cool.
We heard what you had to say. I'm asking.
No, but
Stephanie.
I wasn't finished though, because it reminded me a little of something I would expect to see like in the original Lost Boys or something like that. And I was cool with that. And also, there was another montage that played after we talked. That was because I was watching it right now. There's the other montage too when what's her face was getting. Eaten.
Oh yeah, Rick was like,
yeah, and get a little montage of
yes,
first scene.
Yes, it reminded
color.
Me of it reminded me of the end of Seven, the movie Seven, where
that's not
that.
Yeah, and he had flashbacks of her, and it was all nice color and looking great. And then when she started getting eaten, then it turned into like these red images of her from the past.
Yeah,
I was down with that.
I was just kind of worried, but like because he had visions or flashbacks of her, but not the kids.
No, that's good.
Wasn't attached to the kids. He was attached to her.
I get it, but like you get one kid, boom, he's dead. She gets bitten, flashbacks, then boom, the other kid is dead. Nothing again, and then Coral gets shot in the head, and then
that's healthy.
Because here's the other thing: how many do we ever really see Rick with Sam just by themselves? And when you know, so he had no, there was no emotional tie there for him with them. So it's just,
so they don't get a montage.
No. That would be a bad decision.
Wimpy and Porch Dick Jr. do not get a montage.
It'd be a little bit disturbing. I don't know how you don't see that, but it would be a little bit disturbing if it went that way.
I think it implied that he was better suited to her than he was to Lori or whatever.
Well, they both ended the same way, so...
Well, but she didn't get a montage. option.
Oh, Lord. Because, like,
because she slept with Shane. See, if this chick has slept with Shane, she might not.
Did you call her a chicken?
And because she haunted him for like another whole half.
That's true. That's true. He went crazy.
Yep.
Because of Lori.
Well, maybe this woman will haunt him. I don't know.
I hope not. I don't want to go through that again.
I don't think so. No,
well,
good.
I didn't say I needed another phone call from.
Dang. Nah, Rick is going to move on.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. That was weird.
But it was interesting. We thought maybe they were getting saved or something.
I am a little confused at their. What's their decision making process when they want to include something from the comics and when they don't?
What do you mean? Well,
I mean, because some of the things that were in the comics, I really wish I could see them on the show, but they're not on the show. And then
things from the past already.
Yeah, and then some of the things like that the show has chosen. I'm like, okay, or that they chose to take on, like the Carl thing. I'm glad they did, but you know, there's that big thing to do with Rick. What happened to Rick in the comic that I wish would happen to?
Yeah, but if you're talking about what I think you're talking about, I think that like the Carl thing's easier to do, and I think the thing that you're talking about, it'd be more hassle than it was worth, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but they did that with Herschel, and Herschel didn't lose a foot.
Like, yeah, but still, I think it would have been easier with Herschel since he's not the main focus of the show. Because I used to think the same thing that you're saying about Tyrion in Game of Thrones. Like, why didn't they do it like the book? But then it's like, because it would be too much trouble. Meaning, like, if Tyrion lost his entire nose to where he just had like a hole in the middle of his face and was really jacked up.
Wait,
from
Tyrion turns into Voldemort?
Yeah, well, what? Not by choice.
Oh,
but
okay.
In the series, he just has a scar. But in the book, like, a lot of his face was actually chopped off and gone.
Gotcha. Okay,
and at first, I thought, oh, why don't they do that? But then I'm like, no, oh, but really, that's just, like, way too much trouble for the producers to, like, do that for the rest of the show. You know, just do a scar. And I kind of think that's probably why with Rick, they didn't do all that, just because it does become a bit much. And even though they did that to Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones, it still looks a little bit comical to me that, well, before he got the bronze hand, his arm always looked longer. You know what I mean? You know how that always happens?
Yeah.
When someone gets a hand in a show, and then it's like, why is that one arm so long all of a sudden?
You could tell.
No, I get it. And, you know the way they chose to handle Andrea in the show and things like that. It just always never ceases to amaze me. Like,
that was cool,
how
though,
they choose it.
That gets you by surprise, like the Andrea thing, like,
I kind of wish that
was, to me, that was brave. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. And I was like, wow, holy shit. No, but it's good that they did the Andrew thing, because stuff like that always makes you think you can never be too sure about anything in the show. And that's why the Andrew move was a good one.
Okay.
Why is the room so silent all of a sudden?
We're listening to you.
Listening to your velvet fog, obviously.
Yeah. No, but
you're wearing us down, dude.
Yeah, because
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
In Sci-Fi Party Line After Dark, we get kind of snarky.
Yeah.
It's the wine. It's all.
I don't have wine.
I'm tired. After dark,
I'm in bed. Like, I'm ready to sleep.
I'm stone cold sober for once.
Yeah, for once.
You guys, when are you guys coming to visit? Because I host a sci-fi happy hour here and have purple aliens at the Space Room Lounge here, and you guys need to join me. These purple aliens taste like grape Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, I can't drink hard liquor.
Well, after I get to San Diego, then I can plan another one.
Just
the trip.
Road trip it up here, hippie.
Road trip.
You guys have got to come to Dragon Con.
I can't do everything.
I can.
And on that note,
have one last thing. I just wanted to tip a hat to Dr. Denise in The Walking Dead. In the last two episodes, she'd been kind of, you know, quiet and in the background, but I found her character very interesting. I thought that she sort of came around a bit after being exposed to the craziness, the wild man of
right.
the
of the wolf, and kind of like he said, after going on her little crazy adventure with him, that moment when she comes back inside and they're running in there with Carl all jacked up, and she had her moment. They're like, "Is he dead?" And she's like, "Nope." That is going to go down as Denise's line, that note, because that was the moment where she finally just bucked up like everybody in the town, and she took on her full responsibility. Because, you know, before she was like, I don't know if I can give everyone aspirin. Now she's like, bring them in. Bring me some water. I need a tarp. You know, so she's with it. So it was good to see
Denise. Which means she's going to die.
To die. Yeah.
No, she will, but she got some time yet. No, but she was good, and I'm a fan of Enid too, and I'm glad
she might get her. I think she's gonna get Glenn to death.
Okay.
Oh, Enid?
Not Enid.
Denise.
Well,
Denise or the
What do you mean Glenn sister. To death? What do you mean?
What? I don't think it's totally right for the listeners of the podcast for us to go completely down talking about all of that.
Wait a second. Why are we talking about Glenn dead? That's spoiler. Y'all can't talk about that on this show.
What's
wrong with you? We have not, Hanako. You discussed that in your mind. No, we haven't. No, we haven't. You know what? You talked about it on the last episode of Sci-Fi Party Line where I wasn't there.
No, we discussed the fact that the deaths in the comics don't always happen in the show.
That was in the last episode that I was not on.
I didn't mention it because we discussed it. I mentioned it because that's been a major discussion on TV, period, like Reddit? Glenn's in the comic, because it was a big thing.
I've seen, I don't know about on the TV, I've seen some things on the internet where people are discussing it, like
no, they just
things like that, but not on the Talking Dead or something like
no,
that.
I'm talking about actual interviews and stuff with the creators and stuff. They talked about Glenn's deal, what happened with Glenn, because that was a big deal online with Glenn. I mean, you know, the character
again, I do see this online for sure. But on the podcast, I wouldn't talk about it so explicitly myself, like that or other things in the future.
Yeah, and no, we've never discussed it.
Well, we never said what happened.
We just always said, just like we talked about the fact that in the comics, Andrea's actually still alive, but Carol is dead.
Right.
And, you know, so we've always talked about, okay, this is what, and we talked about this when we, I think at the end of last season when we were kind of predicting who was going to die.
I think we mentioned
that a couple of... Yeah, just briefly.
I know that was discussed on a previous episode to some degree, but I still wouldn't go as explicit as to, like... even to say dead or not dead in the comic, I wouldn't even go that far. I would always just speak cryptically enough to where people who know what's up. And people who don't know aren't tipped off. Like, I mean, that's just my rule of thumb for like a lot of things in general. Because you can talk about something like that to where everyone who knows about it is going to know exactly what you're talking about without just point blank just saying whatever. I don't know. That's just what I think.
All right.
I got the listeners back. That's all I'm saying. That's all
I'm saying.
But Coral. I mean, but what... that is an interesting theory. I have no idea. I mean, for someone else to fill that role, I have no idea where that comes from. It would be interesting, though.
Carl, did you say what you... I forgot.
No, that was all I wanted to bring up Denise. That was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a good call on that. Yeah, and the crazy montage. That's it. So, any last thoughts? Final?
While Eric was not surprised by this episode, I thought it was a great gift to the fans and finally get some excitement going on.
Agreed, Carl.
With drama, they've teased us with angst, they've teased us with
comedy
disappearing and whatnot. This time, to just give us all of that in one fun episode, thank you. I thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
I agree with that. In the previous finale, the mid finale, remember,
and that's
I was
our show.
Because
thank
I was
you,
like,
Eric.
What?
Oh, Eric, you're so adorable.
It's
We're sorry, guys. We're incredibly good episode.
It was a fireball before the show. We talked about this.
Oh, gosh. So, yes, that is our show. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Give us a shout out on Twitter. We're at Sci-Fi Party Line. I'm at Fancy Fanbot. That is at Robo Minister, at Steph by Stereo, at HMR Potter, at Bullet Who, at The Voice 123. We have a website. It's scifipartyline.com, and you know, just find us, just Google us somewhere and message us somewhere. We'll get with ya. Thanks for joining the party and Sci-Fi After Dark. Good night.
Bye.
Bye now.
Well, I thought you was good night, but it's good night. Night night.
Good night.